Radio Free Cybertron, hosted by Brian Kilby, with J.D. Church, John DeLuna, XV, Amy Morgan, Peter Van, and Rob Clay. For the latest Transformers news, visit tformers.com.
Hey, this is Radio Free Cybertron, and I'm your host and friend, Brian Kilby. So after like five attempts at starting the show this week, we are here, and I have confirmation that our video and audio is working.
Yay!
Yay!
Boy, we would have taken one out of two.
Yeah.
Ratchet approves.
Yeah, yay. So you got Ratchet, JD?
I did.
You like it?
Yay. I do. I love it a lot, actually. It spends much time in my hands while I'm at my desk. That didn't sound bad at all, did it?
No, it didn't sound bad at all. Nice. So I got Rager, who I'm sad to admit I love. Considering that I'm the guy that hated third-party stuff so much, iGear's Rager, which of course is Huffer, is just like flipping awesome. I love it. Just like way too much. And I hate to say this, but it's true. It scratches an itch that classics or generations just really can't scratch. Hasbro has to do new things. They can't be, you know, slavish to the design and characterization of old stuff. As the discussion that Rob and John had last week says, that you can tell the health of a toy line by how much they have to pander to the old people. Third party, though, they love pandering to old people, and I love it.
That's all they do.
Yeah, that's right. Good times.
Yeah, so
they have money.
They have
a fantastic feel on that guy.
Yeah, so if you're watching live, we hope you are, you'll note that we are now on Thursdays instead of Wednesdays, so Thursdays at 8 p.m. So with me this week, and sorry for failing before, we have JD, John, Rob, and right now we also have XV. Hey, XV.
Hi.
Nice haircut.
Thank you.
Like it. Really
good. It's very lazy.
It is very lazy.
Low maintenance.
Low maintenance.
Yes, exactly.
Yes, so, but yeah, love Rager. We all need Rager. I am definitely pre-ordering Hench. I hate myself for saying
that. Which one is Hench?
Not Braun.
Ah, yes.
He is the not Braun.
Not Braun. Also not available at BotCon.
Yeah, that's true. Lots of stuff not available at BotCon. And actually, since BotCon is coming up here in a couple of weeks, we'll probably focus more on it than, I mean, not that we haven't been focusing on FunPub, because not intentionally, FunPub has been the news for the last little while. But we're going to
either that, or it's like the worst publicity campaign I can ever remember.
Yeah,
I'm all for my suggestions for changing their name,
the not FunPub,
such as Kicking the Balls Pub. You know, because the fun is really out of it. Or Donkey Punch Pub. I like that one.
Yeah, too erotic.
But don't you think that maybe Maddie Collector might get mad that they be horning in on their gimmick?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and, you know, but maybe we could, like, put them in a ring together.
And see, like, Don agrees with me. He says Maddie will sue.
Yeah. Man.
Thank you, Don.
Anyway, sorry. Yeah. We're not going to talk about FunPub this week.
Not directly. So, yeah, but we are going to try to focus more on BotCon. This week, we're going to try to talk about the history of BotCon. I think between us, we've all basically been to most of them.
Oh, yeah.
Somewhere between all of us.
Somewhere between the three of us who have actually been to BotCon. I think we've been to most of them. So, it's really actually fascinating, the history. So we'll go into that. So, we have a couple other things, to talk about this week, like in the news, as far as BotCon is concerned, artists aren't allowed to sell, their Transformers art anymore.
Oh, really? Is that now official-ish?
Yeah.
Yeah.
God bless. Huh.
Yeah.
The exception, though, is that any artist who is currently or has worked for Hasbro or a licensee can still sell all of their art at BotCon.
That's weird, because that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, you figure that one out.
Yeah.
So if you have worked for them or work for someone licensed by them, you can. But, like, if you haven't, then you can't. So it's like, so Joe Schmo can't, like, sell. So basically, one of the things we're talking about is that girl that does, like, the Puggle Formers or whatever, the little stuffed Transformer toys. Like, she can't sell
actually,
those.
Actually, she can. She checked with them, and they're allowing that under the parody thing, like fair use.
So it really sounds okay.
That makes more sense. That's weird, but it makes more sense than, hey, if you ever freelanced for them, you can sell your, you know, you can sell your pictures of their IP, but if you never got a direct paycheck from Hasbro, you can't do the same thing.
Yeah, the thing is, I'm trying to think about who I know who might be able to sell their art, and it's kind of sad that we're so old that most people that I know who produce Transformers art has done so in a licensed capacity at this point.
Yeah.
Like, well, it's like, has Cypher? I'm like, well, yeah, he works for FunPub. Like, uh-huh. Has Trent?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Well, has Walkie? Yeah. So, so it's like, I mean, there are a lot of people, of course, out there who haven't, but really the people that we've all sort of come of age with, so to speak, in the Transformers fandom, they're all, like, legit now.
Or they were at one point.
Or they were at one point.
Or they were.
Kind of crazy.
Yeah. Which, yeah.
Yeah, so. Well,
I guess the bottom line is it's a double standard, it's weird, and it's another black eye, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, and the thing is, too, okay, even people who have been licensed or employed by Hasbro, should they be able to sell their fan art? Like, if they've been acting, if they've gotten a paycheck from them, shouldn't they only be able to sell, like, prints of their official work then?
Oh, they shouldn't sell any. Yeah. They shouldn't be able to sell anything unless it's like, unless they're working at the Hasbro store, because it means Hasbro's IP. So
right, but what I'm saying is, okay, it maybe makes sense if these official artists are selling prints of the official work they've done. You know, that maybe makes sense. But if they can, like, if Walkie can go and sell his Megatron shirts now that he just produced for his own shits and giggles,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's
it's double standardish.
Definitely. Unless he's giving like half to Hasbro per his contract with Hasbro. Yeah,
but, like, Amy's not going to be able to do her shirts then at that, right?
I mean, do they actually? They say Wreck and Roll, I think, but they don't actually.
Is that trademarked?
I thought they had a logo on them. I thought they had an Autobot logo on them.
You know, I'm trying to think of all our stuff that has a logo on it, but none of it actually has a real logo on it. As close as we get for RFC is. We use that Transformers font that whoever years ago did.
Yeah, but the font, they can't. That's not trademarked, is it?
Was it Neil Davidson who did the font?
He did a font. I don't know if that's the one you're talking about.
Yeah, I think it was Neil Davidson who did it.
The one with all the bad faction logos in it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was him.
Oh, Neil Davidson.
It's the easiest way to identify it, the really ugly Autobot and Decepticon symbols.
Yeah, so I think as far as stuff like the stuff we're going to hand out, I think we're safe.
Yeah,
fine. Here's another thing about that, too. You know, we're not getting a table or a booth this year, which means that we have not signed the agreement that permits them to take away our stuff or prevent us from selling it. Mm-hmm. You know, they can't just come up and take your stuff away at the show. They can ask you to leave for whatever reason.
I have been asked to leave before.
At a BotCon?
I've been asked to get my stuff off the floor because I didn't have a table or a booth, yes.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah.
I can see that.
That's always a risk.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that the year that you had like a box full of junk and you were just giving it out left and right?
I was giving it out. I gave away, I think, all of the Titan trades that were out at that point. Yeah. I was just really trying to get rid of stuff. So, and now I'm going, and as XV knows, now I'm going through my collection to get rid of some more stuff. And I'm like, where did all my good stuff go? And I'm like, oh, wait, BotCon 2006. Dang.
Did you find that Leo Convoy yet?
Yeah, it is right here on my desk. Somewhere.
Still want that.
Yeah, it's under Dino Pope, I think. Oh, here he is. Here he is. This Leo Convoy, Robot Masters Leo Convoy is going next.
Yes.
Yeah, right there.
My lights are blinking. Yes. That's probably not a good sign.
You probably have a storm or something. And one bit of clarification per Pop-Tart O'Doom on LiveJournal. Pop-Tart O'Doom quotes Pete Sinclair as saying, We're pleased to announce, per Hasbro, that artist tables will be allowed at BotCon 2012 as we have allowed it in the past, and will be permissible as part of the show. Hasbro sympathizes and understands fans' discouragement with the previous statements concerning fan art, and while remaining steadfast in the right to protect its IP in regards to unlicensed merchandise, wants to ensure fans can continue to enjoy the BotCon experience, which they know is made so great in large part by the fan community. So, yeah. Did anyone see the deluxe ViaCon shots that were released from Transformers Galaxy?
Yeah.
I've seen some pictures of it.
I like it. I have the not Legends class, the Cyberverse version, and I'm really fond of it, but this one looks even better.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really nice design, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks really nice. The Cyberverse one, I'm not actually that sold on. It's not the worst of the Prime Legion stuff, but it's Legions, just not my favorite.
I like it. I really do like the deluxe version. It looks solid. It doesn't look spindly. It looks like it has some mass to it, and it looks distinctly like it looks like you could go troop. It looks like you could be a like troop build fodder with this. I could see myself buying several of them.
I still want to see the aerial version.
Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's nice. He's a nice design. Nice vehicle mode. I like that he's essentially a Decepticon symbol with wheels.
Basically, yeah.
You know. He's nice.
I think it's pretty cool. So.
Yeah. The one thing I do get always weirded out about is the fact that the Viacons talk and obviously have a personality, each of them, and they still get blown to bits.
They have no soul, though.
Okay. John, think of
okay, sure. I mean, that's even more disturbing.
Robots.
Yes, I guess it's a bunch of guys of dubious ethnicity getting blown to bits.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
The youth of America.
So, let's see here. Not a lot going on in the news this week, honestly. Virtually nothing. It's, to be honest,
it's like the quiet before BotCon, right?
Yeah. So
yes.
So it's not that I'm just stumbling here. I'm actually looking for stuff beyond what we already have. The only other thing we have in the news is the BotCon set. We have pictures of it in package. And I really like the arrangement. It's sad that I even have to mention this. But I really like the arrangement of the toys in the foam. God, yeah. There's no news. There's no flippin' news this week.
So. No. But it's not bad, you know. It looks
yeah. And I really, really, really want that Metal Hawk. Like, bad.
Yeah.
You gotta get him.
So they usually sell the set bagged, but they don't sell them a la carte.
Yeah, they never sell them a la carte.
Yeah, but I might be able to get a hold of a bagged set since I'm not doing a Primus package this year.
Do they sell bagged sets by themselves, I guess? Do you just have to get in line for it?
I mean, well, you have to buy the whole set, but yeah. I mean,
yeah, how much is the set, like, usually, like, when it's loose, like, you know, like a bagged set?
It's like 150 or something like that.
That's reasonable.
Really?
120 to 150, I think, historically.
That's reasonable. I will gladly drop that for that set.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah,
hey,
no, that's
Amy.
Fine.
Hello!
Welcome on.
Hello.
We're discussing how there's no
Good
news.
There's no news, huh?
No news.
In the no news. Oh, no news. Sorry, I thought you said something else.
Yeah.
I don't know what you thought.
I thought he said no nudes.
There's no nudes.
No
nudes.
Wow.
There's no nudes. XXV remedy.
Sorry.
But okay.
Reading the notes and it said no art for BotCon, and I thought, oh, you know, sad trombone. Yeah. Like, some of the artists are not going to be able to.
So, do you think you'll be able to sell your shirts?
That's amazing. Okay, I'm going to drink my water.
What are you thinking?
This is coming from the artist. I went to school. I did do those classes where there were nude drawings. Okay, sorry.
I've gone to clubs where there are nude people for...
No, I've missed that one, actually.
So what are you going to try to sell your shirts at BotCon, or are you afraid to?
I am going
to...
We'll see. I'm working on a design right now. I need to get it finished before the end of the week. So
don't
we'll
include
see.
Hasbro IP, and you should be okay.
Yeah. No autocad con symbols. Just text.
Yeah. We'll see. We'll see. If not, then I guess I will just be. If you want a shirt, come find me in the parking lot.
There's lots of those.
Yeah.
Yeah. So awesome. Great. So considering that there's no news, let's go ahead and jump to what's next. Ah, we have an announcement to make, and we actually have it recorded here. So let's go ahead and do that. Amy will follow up with comic news, and then we will discuss the newest episode of Transformers Prime right after this.
Radio Free Cybertron will return after these messages.
Hello, I'm Brian Kilby, host of Radio Free Cybertron and owner of the TF Radio Network. As you're aware, there are thousands or tens of thousands of podcasts in the world, and there's only so much time to listen, so there's a lot of competition in the podcasting realm. We don't like to admit it, but it's true. So to stay relevant and to attract listeners, we are expanding our selections here at Radio Free Cybertron, and I wanted to give you a peek at what 2012 has to offer.
Coming in 2012 from Radio Free Cybertron, Earth's mightiest podcast.
I was reading on some website earlier, and the whole Earth's Mightiest Heroes just supposedly sucks. And you know, really, I think that Earth's Mightiest Heroes is just some bull they came up with when the Iron Man movie came out to come up with this Avengers thing. I think the Avengers thing is just a total ripoff of Forceworks. What the fuck is up with that?
Well, it's an interesting opinion you have, sir.
But,
I don't know if it's like
no, I don't think grounded. He has an opinion. I think he just has incorrect facts.
CobraCast.
So, did you guys see the trailer for G.I. Joe Retaliation, which is the sequel to the G.I. Joe movie that came out a couple years ago? You know, that movie, it kind of sucked, but part of me still kind of likes it. I think they had a lot of effort, and I think they had a lot of good ideas, like the way they handled Cobra Commander and all that. But I don't know. There's something about this movie. I don't like the fact that The Rock's in it. And Stalker was never really an important character in G.I. Joe, really, when it boiled down to it. I don't know why it has to play Stalker. It makes more sense for him to play somebody else. I just don't get that.
Wait.
Bunch
sure.
of bull. Bunch of
Stalker?
I guess so.
Nintendo Cartoon Cast.
I'll be a little bit honest here. I'm a big fan of Captain Lou and the Super Mario Brothers Super Show, and I thought that they did a great job with that. I think the Zelda cartoon that we got in that is one of the finest cartoons that we've ever had in anything, period. But I have to say, you know, that there's some problems with the Super Mario Brothers Super Show. One, they got rid of Captain Lou, and they made it Club Nintendo or some bullshit like that. Then they changed it and they moved it to NBC on Saturday mornings. And they made the goddamn Super Mario Brothers 3 cartoon. What the fuck is up with that?
Well, I mean, it is for kids, so
bullshit.
I don't know, man. You're going a little before my time here. I'm not as old as all you guys.
Camp CandyCast.
I keep thinking about some of the best cartoons that came out of the 90s. And from a conversation that we had on our 90s cartoon cast, you know, where we do a rundown of all the best cartoons from the 90s. And one that really came up, and I keep thinking about it, was Camp Candy. And that was such, I don't know. People keep comparing Camp Candy and Life with Louie. And it's hard for me to pick which one I like the best, but sometimes I think about that goddamn Michael Bay and making the fucking Ninja Turtles and the fucking aliens. Goddamn Michael Bay, fuck.
Wait, what does Michael Bay have to do with Camp Candy?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they're all three 90s cartoons.
Michael Bay is?
Storage Cast.
So, you know, but I think every time I watch Storage Wars, I see Barry. And I'm like, that guy is awesome. I love Barry. He's like,
yeah, Barry's pretty awesome.
He's one of the reasons I watch that show.
He's badass.
Yeah, Barry's right. I kind of like that Brandy chick, too a little bit. But I, you know, actually, I just want to mention this because we haven't broadcast in a couple of hours. That to that asshole out there that left a negative review on our YouTube channel about our Camp Candy podcast, you can go f*** yourself. Go f*** yourself with a corn cob.
But, oh, wow.
And I guess the best part of the show, and you know, I may be biased, but I think it's Brandy. She's smart. She's funny. She has great personality and sense of humor. She has a great eye for storage units. She's really the star of the show, and I'm just I'm a huge fan.
I don't know, man. You talk about her a lot on the show, like a lot.
No.
Yeah, like a lot. I think this show's kind of like a maybe a reason or an excuse for you to talk about her. Like,
no, I don't need an excuse to talk about her. I don't need that.
You talk about her like off the show too, so I guess that's true. But I mean, you talk about her like all the time, and like what she's wearing and how she may smell.
She's an attractive woman, John. She's an attractive woman. Just leave it at that.
I mean, at times she's attractive. Yes, at times. But I don't know about like flat out saying she's attractive or that she smells like roses and kittens. Who says that? Like you said that.
No.
Listen, man, I gotta tell you, like this show, this podcast, like really, kind of sucks.
Brandy Cast.
I would so treat you right. You need like a man or something. Your husband doesn't deserve you. He doesn't know what's good for you.
Other unnecessary and unresearched podcasts coming in 2012. Spinoffs of the Earth's Mightiest Podcast, Captain AmeriCast, Black Widow Cast, and Thor Cast. Also, Inhumanoids Cast, The Littlest Couple Cast, Overcast, The Weather Podcast, Sandwich Cast, James Bond Jr. Cast. In 2012, we expand our Beast Wars offerings with Opticast, Cheatcast, Radcast, and Radio Free Tigertron. Also look for a special interview with a psychic medium who will tell us what's going on with Fred Gwynn in Munsters Cast.
Welcome to Tweetcast, the podcast where I read my own tweets. 37 minutes ago. I'm about to record Tweetcast. 42 minutes ago, I think I want another sandwich. 47 minutes ago, that was a really tasty sandwich. 53 minutes ago, I liked a YouTube video. 55 minutes ago, I think I'm going to take a quick nap before I record Tweetcast. An hour, 40 minutes ago. I'll be back in a little while. I am going to go get a sandwich.
My little pony, my little pony, comb and brush her hair. My little pony, my little pony, tie a ribbon to show how much I care. My little pony, my little pony, I take her wherever I go. My little pony, my little pony, oh, I love her so.
I love you, my little pony.
My little pony, each sold separately. Collect them all.
Almost everything the world admires has been copied at some time or another. Stones that have deceived jewelers. Banknotes that have confused banks. Even paintings that have fooled the art world. In our opinion, however, there is one original that has yet to be equaled. Back to the 80s at www.thenerdsphere.madmooseforum.com.
You can hear our show on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, or Palm phones. On demand and on the go. Don't have Stitcher? Download it for free today at Stitcher.com or in the app stores. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
Hey everybody, it's your old friend John DeLuna, and do you like video games? Do you like people who like video games? Well, if so, you gotta listen to New Soundwave. It's the weekly video game podcast of record. News, rumors, in-depth discussion of new and retro gaming, plus the occasional contest or giveaway. So if you game, you gotta listen to New Soundwave. Check us out at tfradio.net, a proud member of the Transformers Internet Radio Network.
The third strike, you're on the street, fighter three.
It's now time for Comic News with Amy Morgan.
Hello, it's Amy, and I'm back once again with Transformers Comic News and Reviews in 5 minutes. News bits. There aren't a lot of news bits, so I'm going to get straight to the review as quickly as possible. So the news bits that we have, that I have, that I've been able to find that seem to be relevant enough that I wanted to put it here in the news spot. Jeff Anderson is confirmed to be attending Auto Assembly 2012 in the UK this August. And that's all I could find that I could put together, which is really sad, but it is what it is. So, and the comic review for this week, it's a week late, but it's all I have, and I'm going to talk about it for today's comic review. Okay, Autocracy, issue number 6. It was out last week. Last issue, Orion Pax had to make some decisions. Stand with the rebels or to do his job. And as you can see, here's the pretty cover. Yay! We've got some other stuff in here. It's good. That's as far as the preview went. You can't really see it very well anyhow. But yeah, it looks really great. I like this panel right here. It's like, oh, there's so much cool. Yep. Yeah. Anyhow, go on and review it. Okay. Okay, so he chooses to stand against Zeta and to help the rebels as the tourist city, Nyon, is being burned to the ground and the citizens' Energon is ripped out of them by the Vamparks. The Destructors are going through and pulling the city apart as Zeta leads them. Orion Pax tells Hot Rod to get his people out while he and his officers buy them time. Megatron and Starscream watch from their cozy headquarters. So Orion Pax and his crew do their best to slow down the Destructors. They focus all on one particular Destructor, and after they throw everything at it, they are looking through the fire, and they haven't stopped it. In fact, they haven't even scratched it. They see civilians running, and they turn to Orion and say, "What now?" And he tells them to fall back. And he says that they've done all that they can do, and hopefully it was enough time to help Hot Rod get his people out. So, meanwhile, Hot Rod has gotten some of them out, but not all of them. And he's down to his last option, which is to blow the city with explosives that they have planted in advance. And it's either that or Zeta drains the citizens to serve his war machine. So he blows the city. It's huge. And at the time, the Autobots are leaving the Rust Narrows, and they realize that Hot Rod is using explosives. And that's when Zeta breaks through the fire and attacks the Autobots, and Orion stands against him, tries to stop him, actually. And he gets zapped. He says, "I told you, Orion, it's not about choosing the side that's right, but about the one that's going to win." And he says, "You haven't won yet, Prime." "Yes, I have." And he zaps Orion with the Vampark and leaves him in the rubble. And that's the end of the issue. I know I'm revealing so much, but, you know, hey, it's been out for a week. You guys should have read it by now, so. Maybe that'll make you want to buy it. I don't know. But anyhow, okay, so the art continues to deliver, but some of the details of this issue feel a little rushed. And it's not as polished as some of the other issues have been. And because of that, I'd say it's one of the weaker issues. I still bought it, and I will continue to buy it. It is very fast-paced, and they also leave it on a cliffhanger, which are all good things that I usually like. But I'm just hoping that issues after this will give us a clue as to why some of these details weren't as strong as they could have been. But for me, I gave it...
I'm going to give it a 3 out of 5 stars. So here we are halfway through Autocracy, and I'm still going to buy it, so take that for what you will, fans. It's $1, and you get 2 issues every month, so for $2, you can get it on your technology, iPad, iPhone, iPod Touch, and it transfers to your computer so you can see it there, and we'll get it late this summer in trade. So pick it up or pre-order it, and we'll see you next week!
We now return to Radio Free Cybertron.
And I really am excited, I have to say, about the new shows, especially Storage Cast. I think Storage Cast is going to be the big hit that we have. What do you guys think?
I'm looking forward to starting James Bond Jr. Cast myself.
James Bond Jr. Cast. You know, the reason we didn't actually do James Bond Jr. Cast is I don't really know enough about it. And, of course, those shows are highly researched, so I actually have to watch the whole series.
There's 67 episodes of James Bond Jr., so you better get comfortable.
You know, we didn't mention this, but we could do a Bucky O'Hare podcast.
Ooh.
Oh, there's only 13 episodes of that. That would be a lot faster.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bucky or how about a Captain Simeon?
Oh, you got me.
Oh, I would love great. To do that.
Or a Dinosaurs podcast.
Yes.
Yeah, and somebody uploaded Dinosaurs onto YouTube so we could actually watch it.
That would be great.
But I was threatening to put that on Superhero Time 1 week.
But the theme? We've used the theme on RFC before.
I've used the theme on my show, too.
Yeah, wham, bam, it's a Dino Jam, it's the Dinosaurs. But actually, yeah, for the people who guessed, that was an April Fool's joke. It was a late one, but
still pretty epic.
Yeah, but RFC, of course, didn't air on Sunday, so this was the earliest we could get it on. So, yeah, that was fun. And that was a little collaboration between the four of us, so hope you enjoyed it. I really wanted to do an Earth's Mightiest. Yeah, it actually inspired me to say, well, I was like, let's do an Earth's Mightiest podcast, but that was already taken, so no offense to the people who actually produce Earth's Mightiest podcast. So, who here watched Transformers Prime Crossfire?
I did.
Me.
Everybody?
No. Yep.
Nope.
Aww. So, I've heard people say that this was the best episode of Prime so far, and Triplett pinged me immediately Sunday morning, and he was like, did you see the new episode of Transformers Prime? And he's like, if you say this one's boring, Mike was right. You do hate Transformers. And it was not boring. It was not boring. I will give it that.
But it wasn't the best.
It was another Marty episode. I have to say, I do think it was good. Not my favorite episode. I remember just enjoying a couple episodes from season one more. I don't remember which ones, but I just have a vague recollection of enjoying them. And I know for a fact I enjoyed Operation Bumblebee Part 1 more. I loved Operation Bumblebee Part 1.
I like that episode better.
That's my favorite episode of Prime so far, is Part 1 of Operation Bumblebee. But this episode was good, and it was action-packed. And it was kind of neat. It was Decepticon versus Decepticon.
Versus Decepticon.
So
that's great.
So it wasn't the normal trope for a Transformers cartoon. It wasn't the Autobots have to fight the Decepticons for some reason. It was there was a lot of intrigue and such, and they were able to squeeze a lot into the episode. But I think that was my problem with it. They maybe did a little too much. What do you guys think? I mean, everyone else who watched it, I mean, what did you think? I mean, am I wrong?
I don't know if it was the best episode, but it was like I walked away thinking this is as good an episode as I've ever seen in this show. Like this is easily the highest quality pacing and storytelling that I've seen in this show ever.
Yeah, in case you can't tell, we are going to discuss some spoilers, so if you didn't watch it, mute, fast forward, whatever. So, is Breakdown officially dead?
I hope not.
I hope so, because then that's, I guess, well, we already know characters die in this series and universe. Like, when certain characters are dead, they're dead. Like, super dead. So, I don't know. I mean, I hope it. He is dead, just because it means more, you know.
JD, yeah, JD like has his headphones
so
off.
I don't want him to be dead.
I like, yeah, but the thing is, they haven't done anything with Breakdown in forever.
Well, yeah, but killing him is not the answer to that problem.
And if, for people watching the video, Amy's husband just walked by and kissed her, and that has made so many nerds on the internet jealous right now.
Sorry.
Sorry. So, yeah, I really hope that. I kind of hope that he is dead and that they just reuse his model.
Something corpse else. Twin.
They just start taking his corpse and turn him into a... Hey, they did a zombie in the first season. Might as well, right? Yeah,
absolutely.
Well, and Mech has his remains now either way, so something's going to get done with his body.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point.
That's true.
The upcoming... sort of going back to that, the upcoming episode is Nemesis Prime. And it looks like Optimus goes bad. And, you know, it would be the perfect opportunity. It might be a little cheap, but to actually create a character who's called Nemesis Prime, who is evil, and just reuse the mold, or the model.
That kind of was my assumption. I was kind of wondering if Mech wouldn't be rebuilding Breakdown into a copy of Prime to go on a rampage for them.
It worked well in RID because they had two different... Because, of course, everything was drawn, so it didn't matter. But they had two different vintages of Optimus. You had Laser Prime, and you had Red Prime. And, you know, it was an evil... He was a dark black version of Laser Prime. But you have to, you know, give and take a little bit. I mean, I would... Not that Nemesis Prime is the best character ever, but he's another character on a show that's in desperate need of other characters.
Yeah.
So, I like Breakdown. I don't want him to be dead.
Well, maybe he won't be.
Well, I mean, the chat brings up a good point, right? So, I mean, and we've kind of touched on it. So he'll probably get rebuilt. Be more or less, maybe he'll be like a tortured kind of Frankenstein character. So there'll be some kind of character development there, you know, where he's like under the control of Mech, but he still kind of has his spark or whatever.
He could be kind of like a Dinobot 2.
Dinobot 2, awesome.
So, but XV, you'll have to get over it. I don't want Data to be dead either, but he's been dead for like 9 years.
I understand in the novels that follow, Data's personality takes over the later
before.
Android. Yeah,
God. That stuff doesn't count.
I know those novels appear to suck.
Yeah, but
but this episode really was kind of like jarring in that
I can't believe that Jack. Like I can't believe so... I can't believe that Jack and Optimus are lovers though. That's just the thing that doesn't really. That doesn't. JD is shaking his head.
Oh my god!
He hasn't watched the episode, so
yeah.
I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Back off because I'm not done talking about it.
Yeah, yet. JD, we're still in spoiler territory.
Yeah, we are.
Shut up.
Kind of big, but still.
Sorry, I was just trying. People watching, people listening who have no idea what I'm talking about. I was just trying to fool JD. But one
part I really got a kick out of in this episode was Megatron pit fighting that Insecticon.
Yeah, that was
awesome. I thought that was great.
So I didn't. Yeah. I did not read. What? Exodus? Is that the book?
Which one? Exodus or Exiles?
The first one or the second?
Exodus.
One?
It was Exodus. Yeah.
I've got them both. I haven't read either. But he talks about he talks about fighting in the whatever. Is that a reference to something that happened in the book?
Yeah. They kind of go a little bit into it, but not like in depth detail. But that's kind of been like it's been in a couple of different incarnations of different verses where that's what he's done. I like the fact that they didn't go into it too much. It was just enough that they hinted at it, and then he's battling this big bug. It's great. Oh.
Well, they mentioned it on the show, right? I mean, how much did they talk about that?
That he learned how to fight in the gladiatorial pits, and that was about it. That was all he really said. But it was just like, it was how he was saying it, and then, of course, he's fighting and doing all the things that he was doing. It worked for me. I like that.
I also like that right at the end when he was boasting about taking on a gladiator Kaon, then he falls on his face.
Yeah. I know.
I like that.
Like, darn that Insecticon biting my neck.
So we actually never said this outright for the people who haven't watched it. The whole point of the episode is that Megatron sends breakdown and name failure.
Dreadwing?
Dreadwing out to basically take down Arachnid. And they can't. She just pawns
them. She gets away.
And she finds an Insecticon, and then she basically has it mutilate Starscream. And she's going to use it to kill Megatron. Megatron battles the Insecticon and defeats it. The end of the episode, Arachnid has found basically hundreds, if not thousands, of the Insecticons buried
somewhere on Earth.
So, that's basically what happens. So, Arachnid has her own army. So, it looks like she's going to win.
At least that's what it looks like.
All they need is to get some bug spray.
But, you know, here's the thing. Here's the thing. She has like 1,000 Insecticons, but she doesn't have a RAF. So, Autobots obviously have one up on her. Because RAF is able to do anything with his cell phone.
Bugs explode with a cell phone.
Yeah, if RAF has a cell phone, a calculator, or a flashlight, he's going to save the day. Basically.
So kind of like Donatello in the old Turtles cartoon.
Yes. A little bit of Donatello, a little bit of Chip Chase, minus the wheelchair, and you have RAF.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to wave at JD to let him know that we're done with spoilers.
Hey, JD.
Yay.
So he is now coming back on.
Yeah, there you go.
Is it safe now?
Say something spoiling.
It's safe.
No!
You'll have to watch it and catch up for next week, JD.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'll be good for next week. Okay.
So, John, what's going on in the chat this week?
Everybody's just kind of singing the praises of this episode right now. So I think it's pretty unanimous that everybody really, really liked...
It was a good episode.
...this one.
Yeah, it was a good episode. I would not call it the best of the series.
The whole homoeroticism between Optimus and Jack, though, doesn't work well for the show.
I know the slash fiction is out there somewhere, but
please don't encourage them. You're giving them ideas.
I mean, not that there's anything wrong with that. It's just it's bold for what is could conceivably be a children's cartoon.
You could consider Prime to be a kids show.
But it airs in Prime.
I'm sorry, Brian. I cannot agree with you at all. It's like it is just totally wrong. There is a lot of things wrong with that. Please just do not go there. Burn it. Do not even think of it. Let's move on.
It's gone. It's gone.
It's too late. It's too late.
But to close out the discussion, I'm always going to appreciate a Marty episode of Prime.
Yeah. That's a very good point. Marty is a great writer. Yep.
And he gets
the Transformers, and that's why it works when he writes the show. I hope he sticks around for other stuff. Okay, so the chat likes that episode.
Chat likey.
What else? Anything else?
I mean, you know, not really. Earlier we were talking a little bit about BotCon, and it's a real downer, all the stuff that's coming out for BotCon. So that's it's like the opposite. So this is the week of everybody having the same opinions and, frankly, the obvious opinions, because it's really easy to look at the BotCon stuff and say, wow, that sucks, because it sucks. And so, you know, everybody's complaining about it for, I don't know, a good 15 minutes. And then when we finally started talking about something cool, the Prime episode, everybody jumped on that too. So it's not... Unfortunately, it's a lot of good and a lot of bad this week. Well, I mean, there's just not... It's like we get punched in the gut, and then we have a decent episode, and then we get punched in the gut again. Thank goodness that the episode of Prime was, like, surprisingly great. Otherwise, we'd have to be fighting through nothing but, like, downers from BotCon news.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, and going back to it, just not a lot going on otherwise.
Yeah, it's really quiet.
It's really quiet.
It's really quiet. So I hope with BotCon we get good toy news, too.
So it is quiet because BotCon is, what, 3 weeks away? JD pinged me this morning, and he was like, 3 weeks. 3 weeks.
Yeah.
He pinged me on my drive to work, and I responded on my drive to work at going 85 miles an hour on my phone.
That is not safe, man.
But, definitely, it's 3 weeks away. And there are people in the fandom who have not been in the fandom forever, like, you know, effectively we all have. Or Amy actually is new. But yep, the rest I'm of us have new. Been involved, yep. You know, for quite a while. So BotCon is basically old hat to us. And I was saying that earlier, I would say that between those of us who've actually been, most we've probably been to most of the BotCons, if not – I know definitely not all, but I would say most. And BotCon really has an interesting history. BotCon's gone through the hands of different people, and there have been varying levels of success as to what BotCon is and has been. So I thought it would be worthwhile to actually talk about BotCon as sort of a, in a historical sense. Not certainly not definitive in scope, but just sort of give some of the highlights. So the first BotCon was, what, 94? That was in Indiana, right?
Yeah.
Yes,
so,
indeed.
Yeah, so yes, the Hartmans, they're from – the Hart. John and Carl live in Indiana.
Was it Fort Wayne?
Fort Wayne,
yeah. I think it's Fort Wayne.
So if you actually go through the timeline of BotCon, you'll see that quite a few were in Fort Wayne, Indiana. And I've actually never been to one of the Fort Wayne shows, strangely enough. But
Keith has.
That would make sense. That would make sense. And the first year was 94. Yeah, 94. And only like a couple hundred people actually showed. Of course, it wasn't the
180
big...
180, according to the wiki.
Yeah, that sounds right. And of course, it wasn't a big production. It was just a fan gathering. And that was, you know, only 4 years before I was really big into the online fandom. And to me, at that point, BotCon seemed like it was somewhat established. And by being somewhat established, meaning maybe 400 or 500 people were going to it. But it's really just the place to go for Transformers fans who were on the internet. Not that it was just exclusively internet fans, but people who were on the internet and part of the growing Transformers fandom to get together and just have fun. So do we know anybody who's been – I only knew one person, I think, that actually has been – that went to the first. I think Zob went to the first show. Don might have actually been to the first or second. I know Don's in the chat right now. Hey, Don, have you been to the first couple by chance?
Probably. He was in his mid-20s, not to date him.
Yeah, he was 24 back then.
Yeah. He's been to all but 97. God, Don is awesome.
Wow.
I think that's when I think that's the first one Heath went to is 97.
Don is awesome. I love Don. But yeah, so 94 was the first, and that was put on by the Hartmans. The second was in 95, and Raksha, if I remember correctly, put that one on, and please correct me if I'm wrong. And I think a few more people showed up. That was the year that they had, was it Breakdown? What was the
Breakdown was the first year.
It was first year. I thought that was the one that Raksha put together.
Raksha's BotCon exclusive was Night Racer.
Night Racer, yes. How could I forget that?
I have no idea, but I'm very disappointed.
I'm sorry. Yeah. But Raksha, who, of course, was an internet fan, put that on. And I think most people have probably met Raksha, who've actually gone to more than a few BotCons. And, of course, Raksha is no longer part of the online fandom. That she's sort of gone by that by the wayside there. 96 was like a debacle, especially when I started out in the fandom. That was just a debacle of that was one that was put on by the Men in Black Productions. And Men in Black, they were dealers, weren't they?
John? Yes.
Yeah, they were toy dealers.
It's essentially a business. Like, they're just a big dealer. Yeah, like the big bad toy store of their day.
Yeah, and they put on the first BotCon. It was just a mess. And I don't offhand remember all of the things, the terrible things that went down. But I think the fans just didn't appreciate the way that the things were put on. John, do you know?
It was just run by people who didn't give a damn about Transformers.
I recall story of cake with no forks.
Cake with no forks.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, like, yeah, the food was a disaster. Although I think every group that's held BotCon has had a food disaster. One or another. But So yeah, the food was bad, particularly bad.
So Don was there. He's saying lifted from Pulp Fiction, because I remember seeing that was basically RC doing the Uma Thurman role. It had no video room. And the movie party had cake, no forks, and only water to drink.
Oh, my God.
That's before drinking water was trendy, though.
So. F and U.
And with 97, that's when the Hartmans took it back over. And basically things were pretty steady with BotCon until O2. And O2, that was the last BotCon that the Hartmans did.
Dun, dun, dun.
So basically, oh, no. That was the last official BotCon that the Hartmans did, right. I'll say. Because at that point, let's see here. It was... here. What was Glenn's organization called?
Like the actual organization? Yeah.
So Glenn Hallett, who was part of 3H, basically just said, hey, I'm doing BotCon from now on. I'm working with Hasbro. And it was redubbed OTFCC. And OTFCC 03 and 04, they're both in Chicago. I went to 03. That was the first one that I went to the full convention for. I was at 01 with the Hartmans in Durham, but I was only there briefly. I really thought that OTFCC was great. I thought that Glenn did a great job with 03. That's the one that I have some real direct experience with. 04, from all accounts, wasn't awful, but there were some hiccups as far as like the plates and some of the exclusives. I guess it's a major logistics issue that the exclusives actually weren't there. You had to get them in the mail after.
Yeah, I mean, like one of the
people actually never did.
Yes, one of the tricks with BotCon that I found is really the struggle for everybody who's held a BotCon is the fact that there's no time between one show to the next. And so the first show that they do is the one that has the least amount of stress and everything logistically just works. And then the next year they're a little more stressed out. And then the next year they're even more stressed out. And every year they get further and further behind.
Yeah. That's basically how it is. At OTFCC 04, actually FunPub, Brian Savage, got a call from Hasbro and was like, hey, we want you to take this thing over. Why don't you come over and sort of observe? So Brian Savage was actually at 04, knowing that he was going to get the license to BotCon. And I don't remember why or how they got the BotCon name. They owned it, but I don't know exactly why they went back to it. But not concurrent to OTCC 04, but after in California – the last quote-unquote BotCon happened. That was the last one that John and Carl put on. And that was it wasn't Sacramento. It was somewhere. It doesn't matter. And the exclusive was, I think it was a hand-repainted Action Master.
Yes. What it was, one of the parts reproduction groups made reproductions of the Action Master Sideswipe body.
Yes.
Which were then hand-painted as Breakdown.
Pasadena.
And then that reproduction part manufacturer got a cease and desist.
Dope.
Nice.
And trombone.
And you mentioned that it was a reproduction part person. Back then, we weren't getting full toys. We were getting like replacement parts. Like the Grand Max Sword was produced for.
Yeah, that was one of the earliest prominent.
Yeah, the radar dish for Brave Max and things like that. So, but yeah, I don't really know much of what went on with that BotCon, but that was one of the first, that was, I guess, the first major unofficial conventions that have come out post-BotCon was BotCon, ironically enough, which is kind of strange when you think about it.
And that was a really weird time for the convention.
It really was weird. And you really had this sort of schism in the fandom between people who were pro Glenn and people who were pro John and Carl.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
That was like the last, not the last big, but that was like the next big schism in the online fandom, like post Beast Wars was.
Yeah, I mean that was the like biggest factionalization of its time.
Yeah, it was like the Team Edward, Team What's His Face thing.
Great setup, Brian. Good job on that.
I don't watch that shit. I don't know.
You know, Brian, now that you're going over this kind of stuff, it actually reminds me how in that regard, I'm really thankful that FunPub or a group like FunPub runs BotCon now.
Absolutely.
We don't have to worry about overzealous fans, frankly, running a convention that we all care about.
So people are complaining about all this. I've tried my best to remain, level-headed about the whole FunPub thing because things happen. But since FunPub has taken it over, the crazy factionalization, like you said, has really gone away. FunPub, it's a business. They're there to make money. They're not there to make friends. They're there to put BotCon on.
They
as best
proved
as
it
they
this
can.
Year. Sorry.
Well, but with that being said, the toys are there. They have a fairly clear direction, which is toward the collector. It's pro collector, less so pro fan. But it's very much pro collector, and they're able to execute every year. And other than a couple of hiccups with maybe sets that aren't that popular, I think they do a good job. So OTFCC, BotCon 05 was the first BotCon that
popular set
that FunPub did. Yeah, yeah. Well, it was their first one. Yeah. And honestly, I thought the exclusives from OTFCC 03 were great.
If you could actually get them.
I got them. I wasn't even there. But,
you were saying 03. I'm thinking 04. Never mind.
No, pardon me. 04. I mean, yeah, no, 04. I wasn't even there.
Okay, so we are talking about the same thing.
Yeah. Was it the Megazarak?
Yeah, the Megazarak was great. Oh, yeah. The Sentinel is what nobody got.
Right. I got Sentinels.
The Megazarak was not even that special. I mean, it was comparable to FunPub's Deathsaurus.
Yeah, I got them both. I thought they were both great. I got them both from Big Bad Toy Store, actually. About the same time, everyone who actually went to OTFCC 04 got them. But BotCon 05, it was kind of a rush job. There are things I didn't like. There's some communications issues. I went as a walk-in, and I didn't know that as a walk-in I couldn't go to the Friday events. So I was basically like a pariah. And... so I basically just ended up hanging out with people and walking around on Friday. And Sunday, I actually elected just not to go. Sunday, I just basically hung out in the lobby and hung out with people. But it was still fun. The stuff that I actually did go and participate in was fairly well managed. And Brian Savage was walking around the floor, like he always does, and asking for feedback. And this is where I famously, as far as I'm concerned, basically stood in front of Brian Savage and talked to him for about 15 minutes, telling him how awesome Brian Kilby is and how Brian Kilby needs to be involved with BotCon. Yeah. That was one of my favorite things I've ever done. That was one of my favorite asshole moments ever.
Oh, and I missed it?
Yeah. Did you get...
Not this year.
Were you disconnected?
Yes.
Yeah.
So I was just
momentarily.
I was talking about how my favorite asshole thing I've ever done. One of them is to stand in front of Brian Savage for 10 or 15 minutes just to tell him how awesome Brian Kilby is and how Brian Kilby.
I had no idea that you were the one that.
He had no idea who I was or who I. Yeah.
Oh, I love that story.
Yeah, I love that.
Great.
That was great. I love that. But 06 was even better. They did a better job with 06. 07, I had no complaints with at all. Except maybe they went a little too far, but of course it was the movie year. I think that the show just gets better and better. 2010, I didn't like the fact that it was in Disney. That was the choice that I didn't care for. But as far as the convention is concerned, that was my only disappointment. That had the best set ever.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
So
it did. You know what that show did too? That show had the shortest line I've ever experienced in a BotCon by like an order of 10. It took us like half an hour in line to get our toys, and
absolutely.
It's usually more like 4 or 5 hours.
I remember OTFCC 03, how long that line was. It was one line. It was one frickin' line. And it was basically everybody. And that was by the time that BotCon was, or that the convention was becoming a big deal. And, they were getting thousands and thousands of people attending. The line for 2010 was just incredibly abbreviated. It was just – it was great. It was in and out quickly. Like you said, John, FunPub – having someone like FunPub organizing the con is a great deal. So I haven't been to – except I skipped 08 and 09, and I skipped last year – Which one of those were you at, John?
08 and 09?
Yeah.
I was at both.
So what went down in 08 and 09?
Let's see here. What cities were those? Refresh my memory. You've been to most of them. They all kind of run together.
One was in California. That was 09, I think. That was the one. San Diego? Not San Diego. Was it San Diego?
Pasadena. 2009 with Pasadena.
Oh, it was the first Pasadena?
Yeah.
That one was good. I mean, put it this way. That was probably the one knock against that location is it's on the West Coast. Everything else about it is like perfect, to the point where in the survey they asked, would you be okay if it was here every year?
Oh, God, no.
So
they did
they
the same thing last year, too. They said the same thing last year. They had in the survey, would you be all right with it being here every year?
So. Yeah, so I think they like it a lot, too.
It's close by. A lot of the voice actors can just pop over.
That's true.
Yeah, it's the weather's always dependable and all that good stuff. So
what happens when California falls off into the ocean?
Yeah,
well, Lex Luthor's dead.
Someplace else then.
Back to Fort Wayne, baby.
08.
It'll be on a year or during a time when BotCon isn't going on that month, so it'll happen and we'll all be saved.
What I think is a much more convenient location for everybody was Cincinnati, Ohio, which was in 08. I would have gone, but I was busy getting married.
Yeah, Cincinnati was fun. Cincinnati's actually a fun party town.
Dallas or Lexington will be the two best locations.
I like Lexington. I thought that was good. I liked having it in what's the name of the center, JD?
Rupp.
Rupp, yeah.
Was it in Rupp? Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was a great location for it.
Yeah, it's a nice little downtown area. And
I think BotCon does best in mid-sized cities. I don't think BotCon does really well from an entertainment and kind of like an atmospheric perspective when it's in a big major city.
Like Dallas.
It's always done better when it's in Lexington, even Cincinnati, maybe. And Pasadena felt like a smaller city. It's just because everything's within walking distance. And that's like a huge deal for the people who actually go to BotCon. If they can walk to food, if they can walk to stuff.
And that was the problem, with 01? It really was it 01? Which year?
It was a problem with the Chicago ones, I can tell you that.
Oh, God. We walked forever in Chicago. Yeah, you're right. I got more walking done that BotCon than any other BotCon ever. 07, the one in Rhode Island was really convenient. Mm.
Yes.
I thought that was super convenient.
Yeah, so there you go. That's a big thing. Like, so when you go to BotCon, that's one reason why I'm a little well, I know it's going to be kind of a problem in Dallas, but hopefully not too bad, is that there's stuff within walking distance, but there's not like a ton of like different things. Like there's eats. You can eat. You can walk to get food. But beyond that, there's not a ton else based on where the hotel is. So I'm a little wary of that. The other thing too is, and this is a big one for people who fly in, and that's like 80%. Of the attendees, is that the distance from the airport to the location can be kind of annoying. And if you're flying into Dallas International this year, the hotel is a long way from the airport.
Yeah, so in 05, it was in a time of, looked like accelerated building. So there wasn't like a lot of stuff that was complete around the hotel. There was a mall across a field, which was kind of funny.
Yes,
but
yes.
So last year, I didn't get go to BotCon last year. Two of you guys did. What do you think? What about last year? What did you think about the show
in Pasadena?
Yeah,
I mean it was a movie year. Movie years have all been samey, that it's all been just surrounding, you know, the movie, and we're going to show you like 10 minutes of the movie, and you're going to see Michael Bay and the chick he's dating at the second. And, you know, that's it. Some 3D glasses and popcorn. I mean, it's just very movie centric.
Well, in the 07, we got to see the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. We didn't get to see the movie this last year.
Actually,
20 minutes footage.
07. I didn't go see the movie. I went to go see Live Free or Die Hard instead. I think I chose wisely. Okay.
Yeah, the last couple times they've just had like extended sequences of the movie.
Yeah, I think if people want to know more about BotCon, there's a pretty good, exhaustive study at tfwiki.net. So if you're interested, just go to tfwiki.net and search for BotCon. You can learn more than you really ever want to know. And yes, Don, I think Greensboro, North Carolina would be awesome. So I guess that'll do it, though, for this week. Do we have anything else we need to share or enlighten the people with before we sign off?
Come to BotCon.
Yes. Yeah. We'll be speaking more about BotCon over the next couple of weeks. We're actually trying to figure out what we're going to do as far as like another Project Awesome this year, or how we're going to handle that. We definitely want to do some sort of fan gathering or interaction. We just kind of have to figure out what the best.
Yeah, we don't have Rob Springer around the planet for us anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's go ahead and wrap things up. You can follow us on Twitter at TF Radio, or you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/TF Radio. I am at B Kilby on Twitter and facebook.com/Brian Kilby. What about you guys? XV.
Well, I don't want you to follow me personally, but you can follow at @superhero_time for my podcast.
Awesome, John.
Let's see. You can follow new_soundwave on Twitter, or me, @JohnD on Twitter.
JD.
You can follow @FanboyVS or myself @BJDChurch.
Amy.
Lady of Rack. You can find me on Twitter.
Yay. And Rob.
You can follow XV and me @FigureReviewers for our weekly toy reviews.
Fan-frickin-tastic. So if you're watching live, stay tuned for New Soundwave. That will be on momentarily. If you're listening, thank you for doing so. We will be back next week with another Radio Free Sabertoon, and hopefully we'll have some more news. Sorry about that. Not our fault. So we'll be back next week.
It comes and it goes.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/TF Radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. Copyright 2012 TF Radio Network.